Years ago, they had the P&E, it's called, up in Vancouver, and that was the World's Fair. Remember that? And I even forget what year that was, but it was in, I think the World's Fair in Seattle was 69, maybe? 62. Okay. P&E across the line, and then in 74 it was in Spokane. But a friend of mine who is gregarious and he loves to do adventuresome things, he says to me, and I think I was in maybe in high school at the time, maybe early high school, he said, I want to take you up to the carnival up at the old P&E grounds. And he said, there's this roller coaster up there. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So we went three times on it. He put me in the front car with him, and then he put me in the middle car, and then he put me in the end. And he wanted me to fully experience that. Fully experience that. I tell you what, he was screaming with laughter, and I was screaming with terror. And the reason I was screaming so much is when they put that bar over me, and I guess I was 150 pounds, something like that. When they put that bar over me, it was like this. And so when we went, when that car got to the top and we went down, I was going this way. And so then I was thrown back into the seat, screaming with terror while he's laughing his head off. Anybody else experienced something like that? So then I learned, I need to wrap my arms around that bar. I'm going to lose it. And sure enough, I held on as tight as I could. And so we got done with that first ride. And he said, wasn't that fun? Yeah. And so being a guy, I was going, that was great. Let's do it again. So the middle ride wasn't so bad, but I was still holding on. And then the last car, I think the wheels left the track a few times. I mean, it whipped around, and I'm still hanging on, and I'm just going. So I proved I was a guy that day, I guess. And he's laughing, and I'm going, yeah, it was great. I can't wait to do it again. Next week, oh, I think I'm doing something else. But the truth about roller coasters in our life is we are on one, aren't we? Yes. We are on that ride, and some of us are hanging on like this because it doesn't feel like we're strapped in well enough. And there's some of you that are lifting your hands up going, lift your hands up, Isma, lift your hands, just enjoy the ride. Full of the Holy Spirit, of course. Just bring it on. We're going to experience the top of life. So in this room here today, you're either just getting to the top, you know, that very top before you start to go down and really experience a crazy ride, or you're coming down into that ride and you're finally relaxed and now you're ready to start going up. You know, it goes slow and you can kind of catch your breath as you're going up. So we're all somewhere on that roller coaster ride in life. And the truth is that God is with us no matter what, right? So wherever you are, I want to pray healing again, because it could be today that God's going, okay, now's the time. I want to heal you. So Father, in Jesus' name, I want to pray healing. And Lord, we don't just need physical healing. We need body, soul, and spirit. And that's what you specialize in. And so, Lord, I pray body, soul, and spirit healing for each one of us, whatever that need is today. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're the provider. You've proven yourself to us. You've proven yourself in your word. And Lord, even today that we have the beautiful day and we have air in our lungs, and even as Clint and Kathy came out and a few weeks ago, Clint couldn't make it. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, and we agree with you that you are healing. And however long that takes, we agree with you. Whether it's instant today or whether it's a little bit at a time, we just thank you, Lord, for your healing, even right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, that roller coaster ride is an amazing thing with the Lord. And what we're going to be looking at in Acts is that life of Paul in ministry. And what we're going to find is that there's maybe a lot of things, maybe some things that just surprise us about God. One of the things is how much we can take, that the things that come at us, maybe at times we go, are you sure I can handle this? And know that whatever circumstance you're in, through him, you can handle it. Amen? Through him, you can handle it. And so we know that part. But this, there's times when you seem to be going in a direction, serving the Lord, doing what you know that he has for you to do, and then he stops you. And maybe you've thought, like me at times, going, why? I mean, I'm doing something godly. I'm moving in the right direction. I'm where you called me to be. Why are you stopping me? What's going on? So open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is on his second missionary journey, so his assignment that he's been given. And what's been going on here, just a little bit of background, is so Paul, now it's Paul and Silas, they make their way in verse chapter 15, verse 41, and they go through Syria and Cilicia, and they're strengthening the churches. And then they come through, as we talked about last week, they come through Derbe and Lystra, and they hear of a young disciple named Timothy, and they get him on the team. So Timothy, we talked a little bit about Timothy last week. And so as they're going along, verse 5 of chapter 16 of Acts, it says, so the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in number daily. And so stuff was happening. Maybe in our day and age, we like the word revival. Maybe revival was happening and churches were increased. They were overflowing and people were coming to Christ, and it was just an amazing time. Okay. So in chapter 6, we're going to, chapter 16, sorry, verse 6 and 7 and 8, we're going to find out that something happens in the midst of this revival, or the midst of churches being encouraged. And it says in verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and they were, listen to this, stopped by the Holy Spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia. They were stopped. The Holy Spirit stopped them from preaching the word. He didn't stop them from doing something evil. He stopped them from doing something good. What is that all about, for crying out loud, right? What? I'm doing it. I'm doing what you asked me to do. And he stopped them. Here's the sign, a CF sign. Stop. There's my stop sign. So he stopped them. And in the song it says, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. So he stopped them. Now God is, the Holy Spirit is directing them to stop. Well, if that isn't enough, look at verse 7. And when they had come to Musia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And some of your scriptures say, and the Spirit of Christ, but did not permit them. So they passed by Musia and came to Troas. So not just one time, but a second time as they're traveling. And this is, they're going hundreds of miles. This is not just around the corner. This is hundreds of miles. So they're traveling there, you know, and all of a sudden the Spirit lets them know, no, I don't want you to speak the word of God. I don't want you to preach. Okay. And so they head out again, and then and they get to this other area, and I don't want you to speak the word of God to preach. What? What? So I want to ask you, what do you think might be God's reasoning for them to stop? What do you think? So just a question, just raise your hand. If a thought comes to your mind, what do you think might be a reason that God would stop them from, he said, go into all nations and baptize them and teach them, you know, that was the end of Matthew. So Diane, why? Why would he?
Maybe the people there were not ready to hear.
Okay. Do you like that? Maybe the people there were not ready to hear. So God is putting together this masterpiece, not Paul, not you and me, but he's got a masterpiece going. And so he says, stop. Maybe it's because the people weren't ready to hear. Yeah, Roger.
They weren't ready to hear to the point that they would kill them.
Okay, that's okay. Maybe because Paul had experienced some of that hate before already. So maybe they were, their lives were threatened. And Beverly. Are you saying that God has timing for them? And okay. And he was pulling them through that area. He didn't want, there was a timing thing. Yeah, Alice, did I see you raise your hand? Okay, all right. Howard, be careful when you fluff your hair. We're like at an auction. Yep, yep, 50. No, I didn't say anything. Howard. Okay. Lord has mercy on who he has mercy. Yeah. Linda.
He may have had some other place he wanted them to be.
Okay. That confirms what Beverly was talking about. Another place he wanted them to be. But it was, aren't they, as they go, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew? As you go, preach the word of God and, you know, wherever you are. But this time he said, no, stop. So I wrote down some things that are maybe what you're timing. The people were not ready. That was another one that I thought of too. Here's what CEF has taught about prayer. There's three kinds of answer to prayer when you pray. The first one we love, and that's yes. The second one is no. And we have to accept that. And the third one is wait. Well, it sounds like this one might be kind of the no wait thing. Not that they weren't supposed to, but not right here and not right now. Okay. Anybody else with that before I go to my next question? Anybody else with why do you think God said no? Okay.
Make them listen.
Okay. So he hadn't make them listen. Yeah.
Maybe they needed to kind of rest or recalibrate.
Oh.
Remember that God was in charge.
Oh. Isn't that one? I don't know if you heard that. Maybe God wanted them to get recharged and ready to. Maybe they weren't quite ready yet. Maybe their hearts. You know, after a big event, you know, it's. There's stuff happening and, you know, everything's going and maybe you tend to, not saying this is what happened, but maybe you tend to leave the Holy Spirit behind because now everything, you know, the momentum's going. So kick in with the flesh and go. You don't need the Holy Spirit. Just, yeah, you go and go to church and raise your hand. Yes, Mike.
Well, there was a Macedonian man who was praying for them to come.
Okay.
You know, so anyway, that's why prayer is so effective. We pray and then.
You mean that I could be praying and God can be rearranging somebody's life? Wow. Is that incredible? For the gospel, God's masterpiece. So we're joining God's masterpiece, and at times he says wait and even no, and at times he says yes. And I was thinking, am I that close to God that when he says stop, even something good, and it's a good idea, that am I that close? So then my next question is, it doesn't say how they heard from the Holy Spirit. Now, later, just like what Mike is saying and Bev said, is that Paul sees this vision and he hears this man from Macedonia. So my question is, how do you think, it doesn't say, how do you think they heard from the Spirit that they knew enough to stop? The momentum's going. They knew enough to stop. How do you think the Holy Spirit communicated with them? It doesn't say. So do you have any idea how that might be? Okay, then how does he communicate with you when he's directing you? How do you know for certain that it's the Holy Spirit leading you and not just a good idea that you have? How do you know for sure it's the Holy Spirit leading you? Carol. Okay.
So that's how he knew.
That's how he knew to go, but I wonder how he knew to stop. Maybe he had a vision. The Bible didn't record it, but it doesn't say. Beverly, how do you know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, or maybe? Okay.
And so we left and everything just lined up. We got a place to live, you know.
Okay,
it's
so
obvious, but it's great if you have two people.
So I don't know if you could hear Beverly, but she said her husband died a few years ago now. God rest his soul. Anyways, she says that with the husband and wife, there was two of them praying and there was a confirmation. They were both getting the leading. And so she's saying maybe at times the Holy Spirit is leading you with your spouse. There's a confirmation with another believer that's praying. Yeah, Mike?
The Bible says let the peace of God rule.
Okay.
And so sometimes, you know, everything is all lined up to go. So I know of a man who is in full-time ministry, and he was all lined up to go to Africa and preach in a country and stuff. And just before us to go, he just had this horrible lack of peace.
Okay.
So he called and canceled. They were really angry with him and all that. But the plane crash that he would have been on, that would have been from one leg of that journey.
Okay.
And, you know, and so, but anyway, he didn't have the peace of God.
Okay.
He decided that he was letting the peace of God rule in his life, whether he did things or went certain.
Okay. So Mike's saying, look for the peace of God. We're saying from Beverly, for both of these, there's experience that they've heard, experience that they participate in, where confirmation, you're praying about something, so being confirmation. I think a lot of us, we're looking for confirmation as we're stepping forward. Lord, show us. And I know many times I say, Lord, close a door if I'm not supposed to go through it, please. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going. It's almost like, Lord, I'm leaning towards you. I believe your spirit's leaning, and so I'm going to keep leaning, but please stop me if there's not something else. So then that question of how does the Holy Spirit speak to you to either stop you or encourage you? So we heard confirmation. We heard, yes, Carol, how do you?
It says the Spirit of Jesus. Yes. Not permit
them. Yes.
So Jesus, you know, talking to them, how you define the Spirit.
Yeah. So they knew for sure. Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. So hearing his voice, my sheep know me. I know their voice. Yeah, Glenn.
I think knowing the outcome of something that was done, Dana can correct me if I'm not right on this, but her dad at the time of his conversion was at an event and he was just going to do something, get something. And on his way over there, and he said to me, I believe, quote, don't know if it was audible or not, but it said you're delivered.
So I don't know if you heard Glenn's testimony. Okay. Testimony of his father-in-law was just walking somewhere and the Holy Spirit said, you're delivered from alcohol. And from that time on, he didn't have another drop of alcohol. So What we're coming to is, we don't know exactly, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit spoke to that group, and they knew enough that God was telling them, stop. And it looks like a wait, because he was going to communicate with them where he wanted them to be. And so with that, you and I, that's why I wanted to ask this, is we need to be that close, and maybe you are, that you know when God is telling you to go and when to stop. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, that God says he will direct you and he will help you. He will tell you what I've told you, the Holy Spirit. And so we know that when we're in his word, so much of our direction comes through his word, the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. And so we've lived long enough to know, I need to keep my nose here so I can hear and understand God, because so much of that communication is through the word of God. And then when we sense something in us that we trust that the Holy Spirit's, we want to make sure it's backed up by the word of God. But like this one, even something good that Paul was doing, God said, stop. Okay. All right. So God said, stop. And now we're asking, what do they do while they're waiting? What do they do while we're waiting? Well, maybe, you know, maybe there's something we can just, you know, is there video games or something we can do while we're waiting, right? What do we do with this waiting time, this downtime before we heard God, his Holy Spirit say stop, and now we're waiting for him to say go. So what do we do while we're waiting? Well, we know that we want to be in constant prayer with him, and so we're praying, and we believe that Paul and the group was praying, waiting for to hear from God. But what are some of the things? And so if you have your notes there, I wrote two things. One is, if part of the reason for them to wait and for you and me to wait before we go into an area to preach and to teach, or you know, even Pioneer Days before, making sure our conduct of life is one that reflects God. So really asking God, is there an area before I go to minister, is there an area of sin or that might stop your Holy Spirit from completely using me, so that I don't want to do it in my flesh, I want to do it with your Spirit. So praying and asking, Lord, show me, is there some conduct? So I wrote down several passages. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be holy as I am holy. It's Holy Spirit stuff, right? And Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that those evidences are happening. The full armor of God, which is truth and righteousness, and the gospel of peace, being ready to share the gospel of peace. Faith, that's faith in Christ, faith in God's plan, that he's sovereign. And then the shield of faith, and then the helmet of salvation, that locked in our salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's locked in. There's no wavering on that, that we have to know Jesus Christ. And then the sword of the Spirit being in the word of God. In Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit and you won't carry out the deeds of the flesh. So that, again, it's Holy Spirit stuff. And so I was considering you and me while we wait for events, while we wait for the roast to get done in the oven today, while we wait for the next event in our lives. How many, just by way of question here, how many different events do you have typically in your life? And what I mean about events is that in your morning, something typically happens, and then maybe you're driving somewhere, and then how many events during a single day do you have? Events that you go to do something and then you return. Anybody?
Around five
events. Okay. Nicole teaches school, and so that's part of what she does at homeschooling. So five events. And what might they be? Just real quick. Five events.
Bible time, school time, lunch time.
Bible time, school time, lunch time. So mom's got to prepare something. There's another event, right? Mm-hmm. Preparing for that event.
Quiet time.
She makes sure her kids go down with some quiet time. Just recalibrate. Getting ready for the day with Jesus. What might be a fifth one?
Outside.
So even mom here has five events in her life that she gets ready for. So here's one, finish that one. Now that she didn't even say laundry, but there's that one. So you and I have these different events. And what I'm saying is that I believe God wants us to pray before we do those events. Okay, so now you're leaving for work, you're praying. You know, now you're at work, and before you leave to go home, you're praying for that next event when you get back with your family. So praying an event. And then I put down making sure I'm equipped with the gospel of peace. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what to say to someone who wants to believe in Jesus. Because if you've believed, then you have to know how that happened. And so I want to bear it down to three things. And there's a lot of things in Scripture that can say, here's the Bible verses to use. And so I'm going to just pare it down to three. First of all, God's perfect love for his creation, and that includes you. God's perfect love. And I'm talking about sharing the gospel of peace. Because when you know God's love, you're at peace. Amen? And we have to be reminded of that instead of, nobody loves me, I'm going to go eat worms, I'm just no good. You know, that's not of God. But knowing that he loved you and knowing that he set you up to know his love, and even in creation, everything was good. And there was only one thing he said not to do. So they had their free run of creation. So then the second thing is to know that we've all sinned. Right? So, and the third thing we need to know is that he's bringing us back. Amen? So the gospel of peace can be really three ways. And that way that he brings us back is forgiveness by believing in Jesus Christ, his love displayed, right? That God's display of his love for us, that he came and he died on the cross and he rose again. And he offers life abundant for you and for me forever. Okay, so here they are getting ready, however they're getting ready, and we talked about us getting ready for events. And then it happens. So there they are in that roller coaster ride, right? They're in that roller coaster ride, and they were going on down, and all of a sudden they get stopped. And I was thinking about why they stop a roller coaster. And probably number one is to check to make sure everything is in order, repaired and all that kind of stuff. And so that's, I think, a reason for us. Sometimes when we get sick, that's a time that God stops us and has us really consider stuff, isn't it? And put things in the right perspective. And so so that roller coaster stopped, and they're probably greasing the zerks and making sure and having all the stuff ready to go, and then they're off. And so here they're waiting, and all of a sudden, just like you guys heard earlier, verse 9, so we're in Acts chapter 15, verse 9, it says that, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they concluded as they were waiting, this is it. And so they didn't hesitate. They didn't stop anymore. The green light was on. Whoop, there it is. There's my green light. So there's a stop in our lives, and then there's a green light. And you know what this one says? Go and tell the story of the Christ of Calvary. That is life eternal, isn't it? Jesus Christ came, hung on the cross for our sins to be forgiven. He died And then he was put in the grave and he rose again to show the power over sin and death. So it was time for them to go, and they didn't hesitate, and they traveled hundreds of miles to get to Macedonia. It says there in verse 11, here's why. Therefore, sailing from Troas, they ran straight course to Samothrake, and the next day came to Neapolis, verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is in the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. Okay, so they get the green light and they go and they get there to that city and they're there for days. And I'm guessing they're probably praying. I'm not sure if anyone's getting warm in here, but there's shutters that can be open. Because I'm good at putting people to sleep. If you need to take a nap, that's okay too. So they get there and they're there a few days. And so they're ready to go. They're ready to go, however that looks. And then this is what happens. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So they went to the place where they're praying. So it sounds like there might not have been a synagogue in that region, and so they heard about where people are praying. They heard about where believers are gathered together praying. So they went there, and they sat down. And so watch what happens here. Verse 14. Now there was a certain woman named Lydia, heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Okay. That place where she was from, Thyatira, was the place that God said not to go. And apparently this woman had at some point in time moved over to this area. And it sounds like, from what I understand, that a person that dealt with purple, that's a royal thing, that she may have been had some financial gain. But at any rate, I find it fascinating that this timing, God's masterpiece, this woman from a place that they were restricted to go to preach the gospel, was over here. And God stops them from over here and sends them, and they meet up with this woman over here, and she hears and she responds. Is that crazy? I wonder about your life, that when you had an encounter with God, that someone shared that encounter with you, and I wonder how far they had come, and you intersected right at that right time. How many of you here were had your encounter with Jesus outside of the state of Washington? Outside of the state of Washington. Okay, over here? Yes, over here? Okay. All right, we have at least three, maybe four, five. How many of you outside of, Whatcom County? Maybe you're in Washington, but outside of Whatcom County. Okay. How many of you right inside of Whatcom County had your encounter with Jesus? The person that shared that, just thinking, the person that shared that, were they from your hometown that shared that with you? How many were from your hometown that shared Jesus? They grew up here. They grew up here. Okay. How many that you know that they weren't from your hometown where you grew up? Raise your hand if you know those people that, okay. Apparently, that intersection that God had for you. It is amazing that you're pretty special in God's plan, whether that person shared that with you that you grew up with, or whether they came from another state or even another country to share the truth for eternal life with you. Somehow God stopped and started that whole thing to align exactly where you were going to be and you were going to hear that word of God. It's an amazing thing. What a privilege that you and I have today. So what transpired out of this was verse 15. It wasn't just for her. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us to stay. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Her whole house was baptized. Her house came. So each of us, our purpose that God would meet us and that we are instrumental in those around us for them to come to faith in Christ. This is all Holy Spirit stuff. This is all roller coaster ride stuff, isn't it? For most of us, when we were on our roller coaster ride, for most of us, we were down in the depths when we heard God call to us. And we reached out and we said, I need help. And God pulled us up. That's a beautiful thing. And so as we continue to ride this roller coaster here where we live and hearing things around the world and praying for Israel and praying for the wars and rumors of wars as we're going up and down on our roller coaster, we're helping people up from that depths of despair. We're helping people to sing praises of God, right? God is good. And everywhere along the way. So thank you for joining us here at Evergreen on this roller coaster ride. We get to ride with people. Some people are crazy like Mike. I bet he raised his hand and said, bring it on. I want more. Down. And other people are going, whoa, hold on. But the key for God's Holy Spirit is for us individually, but his plan is for us to be linked together with others. We are the spiritual body of Christ. We are the physical body of Christ because of the Holy Spirit in us. And when we are helping one another, we're connecting and making that body of God strong. And so we need to help each other. And so when you hear of people that need prayer, pray. When you hear of people that need rejoicing, rejoice with them. So here we are this year. We've survived a lot of stuff, and here we are this year. And we have another event, and so I want to thank God's perfect timing for Yvonne and Jean to come back and to share this event that you might be thinking about of shining your light there with us during Pioneer Days. And even if you don't volunteer there, come out and just shine your light. It's an opportunity for people all over the county to come out here. And so just your presence, come out with another believer and be praying as you're walking and looking for opportunities to share the love of God. Just come out to the event, you know, either the parade or the park, the picnic thing, and be a team with us, Team Evergreen. Be a team with someone else that's going to be praying with you. Is it husband, wife? Oftentimes they do the car show. Go and ooh and ah, the car show, and talk with the people, and maybe there's an opportunity. So the key is Holy Spirit led. We aren't pushing Jesus on people. We're just simply loving people and seeing if there's a response, seeing if the Holy Spirit has lined up somebody with you during the Pioneer Days that you could share the love of Christ, right? So this is our opportunity for our community. And either be a volunteer or be there and be praying as you're there, talking to people, showing that the love of God. Yeah, Chris.
Out here, and we brought in some new people because we were trying to
Shining our light outside during COVID. Yep. Thank you, Chris. Now, we have some of my Lummi brothers and sisters here. So we have Stamish grounds coming. We have some things out in the reservation coming. That could be a time, too, that especially those of us that are of Lummi, that we could be there to shine our light and just praying, maybe, or we could have a station for handout water bottles or something there, too. So we have other events coming. And so God has lined us up to do mission work where we are. Andy and Rachel in Sri Lanka, and they're looking for events to shine the light. Well, we're right here looking for events to shine the light. All right. Well, thank you for being on the roller coaster ride with me. You know, it's up and down. Emotions go this way and that way. But the Holy Spirit is our anchor. And let us help one another as we go up and down on our roller coaster. So let's pray and give it to the Lord. There's one scripture I'd like to share with you that you've heard over and over again. It's out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths or make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Let's pray. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us this life of a roller coaster. And we thank you that you are with us through the depths and through the heights. And Lord, you have put us together as family here at Evergreen to be with each other as we do this ride too, Lord. And it's for your glory and for your honor, for your kingdom. Father, I pray if there's someone here that hasn't placed their faith in Jesus, and Paul made it really clear. He says that it's about Jesus Christ, that according to Scripture, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scripture. And so, Father, we thank you for that display of your love. And Lord, by the promise and power of your Holy Spirit, that's the gateway to new life, by believing that. It's the belief in God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes him will not perish, but have life, eternal life, have abundant life forever and ever. So we thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. If there's anyone here that would like a word of prayer and encouragement, turn to the person next to you and say, let's pray together. Or come up here and this front row and we'll pray together. And certainly if you've placed your faith in Jesus today, come on up here so I can pray and get you going on trusting the Lord with your new life in him. So we thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. It's in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.